Davis steps under center. Gibson and McClendon behind him. Davis with motion by Richard. Will give the ball to McClendon. He leaps. Oh, he doesn't get in. He fumbled the football. Carolina holds. The game is over. And Carolina has won the game.
Finley to throw. Over the middle, intercepted. Wolfolk again. Wolfolk the other way. At the 30, the 40. Wolfolk to midfield. Miles Wolfolk with the pick. The heels on the doorstep of an enormous victory.
Left side of the line. Hood standing to Williams' right. Williams going to throw. One-on-one. Davis has it. Touchdown. Carolina wins. Carolina is the Coastal Division champion. Bernard fields it at the 26. Heading to the far side. Gio at the 35. Gio, he's at the 50. No, he's not. Yes, he is, Gio. He's going to take it for a touchdown. Are you kidding me?
Connor Barth for the possible win. Snap, spot, kick away, high enough, long enough. It's good! It's good! Carolina has won the game on a 42-yard field goal by freshman Connor Barth. Good gosh, dirty!
This is the Heel Tough Blog Podcast.
What's going on, guys? It's another edition of the Heel Tough Blog Podcast here on a Friday night. And what could be better than a little bit of hope in the air for Tar Heel football, ladies and gentlemen? And that's what Carolina got today when they made the hire of their new defensive coordinator in Jeff Collins. And we're going to talk to you about Jeff, what he brings to Carolina, and ultimately why I think this is a pretty good move for the Tar Heels. This was a guy that I had on my list when we talked the other night. He was one of the names that I brought up. And I think it's a move that is very, very interesting. There are some things that you really like about the move. If you're someone that's done the research, there's some things that maybe concern you a little bit about the move. So we'll talk through all that. Of course, the most important thing, it is just me here tonight, giving Josh the night off here as we react to this. He's, you know, still had some issues with the voice. I know he was wanting to do an addition to the basketball podcast as well. He's been doing those when Hubert Davis speaks, where he's by himself. So I believe he is potentially working on that right now. So we figured, why not just me tonight here rolling with you guys. So I want your comments. What do you think about Jeff Collins? I know there are, you know, some people around the ACC that really liked it. A lot of the analysts. There are some people from Georgia Tech that are kind of trying to tell Carolina fans be very weary of it. But we want to know what your thoughts are. And, you know, I think one of the key things that you have to start out with here is that you need to realize that there is a difference between head coach Jeff Collins and defensive coordinator Jeff Collins. And I think that's the thing that we kind of saw today on social media, right? There are a lot of people that were very critical of the hire because of what we saw from Jeff Collins as a head coach. Which, by the way, if you go back to his time at Temple, I mean, his defenses weren't great there either, but he still kept Temple, a program that we've seen since he's left. It has really gone downhill there. They had a good run of getting strong coaches in there that eventually went on to coach at bigger programs. It was, you know, he was the last of that real line of coaches. It was Al Golden, Matt Rhule, and then him. And since then, it just hasn't really been the same. Now, he went to Georgia Tech, and he took on what was one of the most difficult things that you can take on as a head coach, especially in the modern era of football. And that was trying to shift an offense that was stuck in the 1940s into and bring that offense into the modern day. And look, you know, I think that he's a guy, you know, what we've seen from Brent Key, I think, shows you that there is blame that he has to take for what happened there. But at the same time, I do think that there, you know, are a lot of things to like about Jeff Collins. You know, I think just personality wise, you know, I've met him before. He seems like a really great guy, a guy that's really hardworking, very smart. Met him a couple of years ago at ACC Media Days. And I think this is one that can work. If you look at his track record as a defensive coordinator, this is why you should be excited by this move from Carolina. You go back to his time at Mississippi State. To me, that's the job that you're really looking at, and you're saying to yourself, this is the reason why you should be excited, because Mississippi State is a school that gets solid talent. It's usually right around the same area where Carolina is recruiting right now, the last couple of years. So I think, you know, you coming in, he probably has a little bit more talent overall, just based on the star ratings coming out of high school than he had when he took over at Mississippi State. And he turned those defenses into some of the best in the country. One of the most interesting things about him, he had that two-year stint at Mississippi State. He had a two-year stint at Florida. And the thing, you know, the reason why I didn't turn to Florida first is Florida is a school that typically brings in a lot of talent. And, you know, it was no different when he was there. He is a guy that I think really succeeded when he was there, because he had some great talent, but at the same time, I think his scheme definitely worked. You don't become one of the country's best, and we're talking about inside the top five in terms of total defense in his final season at Florida, just because you have talent. We've seen it here. Talent, if you're not a good coordinator, talent doesn't mean anything. But I mean, to me, the fact that you look at the efficiency stats that he had when he was the defensive coordinator at those two schools in the SEC. This was a guy that finished top 25 in efficiency defensively in each of his four seasons as a defensive coordinator at those two schools. And for Carolina, I mean, what an upgrade that would be from where Carolina is at. They have finished top 70 once in the last decade, and they were 68th the year that they did that. That tells you where Carolina is at on the defensive side of the football. And it's why, you know, when you look at this hire, you can't really be overly picky. I saw a lot of Tar Heel fans that were mad about this move. Well, we could have gotten somebody better. We could have gotten a coach in waiting. That's the approach that they should have taken. The problem is, guys, who wants this job? Really? And in all honesty, who was banging down the door to get this job as the defensive coordinator here? Like, first of all, you're working with Mack Brown, and this is not a slight at Mack Brown, but Mack Brown is an old school head coach. He's a guy that's been around a long time. So some of the modern stuff that you want to do, Mack Brown may not want to do. The main thing, though, is look at the reputation of this job right now. It's not good, guys. This is a group on this side of the ball that has not been good since Butch Davis was on campus, no matter who they're recruiting. They have done a great job recruiting the defensive line, really just the defense overall, even the defensive backfield. Carolina's recruited very, very well, but it doesn't matter. They're every year, it seems like something is the downfall of this defense, and that's something that's known nationally. So there's a reason why guys weren't flocking to this job. Yeah, maybe if you put it out there publicly that you were hiring your next coach while making this hire, maybe you could have enticed somebody like Jim Leonard. But the thing about Jim Leonard is he's a guy that's spent his entire coaching career after getting out of the NFL in the Midwest. It's an area that he loves and probably wants to stay in. You know, a la the move to go on as an assistant at Illinois out of all the places that he could have gone, probably. And most people believe that he is really just biding his time to get to the NFL. That's pretty much the thought there. So who knows if there was ever any interest. I know people were frustrated about that one. Will Muschamp. Now, that's the one that's really interesting to me that people are mad about. First of all, Will Muschamp has very similar issues to what Jeff Collins has. He hasn't been a full-time defensive coordinator. Actually, one more year, the year prior to the last time that Jeff Collins was a defensive coordinator, that was the last time he was a defensive coordinator. So, 2015 for Will Muschamp back at Auburn, where, by the way, he wasn't really the most successful guy. I know that he's at Georgia now, and a lot of people, I saw a lot of Tar Heel fans commenting, well, he's the defensive coordinator at Georgia. Yes, that's partially right. He's a co-defensive coordinator with Glenn Schumann, a guy that I think most people look at and credit with a lot of what we've seen there. It's no slight at what we've seen from Will Muschamp. I think he's a guy that if Carolina would have went with him, there's a track record there. It's still something, you know, the connection with Mac Brown. Yeah, it's probably something that you would be able to be excited about. But I do think that this is a move that, to me, you have a little bit more recency with Jeff Collins. Really, the thing is you know that he's a guy that can coordinate defenses on his own. Not saying that Will Muschamp can't, but it's been a long time. And my thing is he's younger. He's had to be a guy that's recruited in this modern landscape. Will Muschamp doesn't recruit in the modern landscape. He's a guy I went and looked yesterday when I was putting the finishing touches on the list that I had. And I put Will Muschamp on there as a guy that Carolina should look at, should have a conversation about. But the thing that really concerned me the most about him is that he has not been a primary recruiter for a guy since he has been at Georgia. Didn't happen. Last time he was a primary recruiter on somebody, I believe it was when he was at Auburn as a defensive coordinator. So it's been that long since he's really had to get out on the recruiting trail. And one of the things that you needed is you need a guy that can go out and recruit as a defensive coordinator, because your defensive line coach isn't going to go out and recruit. He's just not. Ted Monachino is an old school guy. He's a guy that spent a lot of time in the NFL. It's been a very, very long time since he has had to be out on the recruiting trail. So for him to have to get back out there, and he will because he's the defensive line coach, but you needed somebody that is motivated to go out there and recruit themselves, somebody that has familiarity with the recruiting area that you are spending the majority of your time in right now. And look, state of North Carolina is going to be important, especially in this next year's class. The 2025 class in the state of North Carolina is freaking loaded. So Jeff Collins has to get familiar with the guys around here, because when he was at Georgia Tech, you didn't really see Georgia Tech get into these areas. There's a couple of guys. I mean, Zeke Biggers is a guy that comes to mind. He went to West Rowan High School, which is right outside of Charlotte here. So his staff went up there and got him. But I don't know how familiar he is with the people here. What we do know is he is very familiar with the people that are in Atlanta. And that's an area that Carolina has recruited hard. You're seeing it not only on the current 2024 recruiting trail where they signed guys, but you're seeing it even in the transfers that the team is getting. They're trying to establish connections to guys that are from down there, schools that are in that area, especially some of the powerhouse schools. And Jeff Collins, I think, is a guy that can help strengthen that, because one of the things that Jeff Collins did in his time there, he got talent to Georgia Tech. He was convincing guys in Atlanta to stay home. The problem was he just wasn't able to convert it on the field. And, you know, when you go back, one of the concerns that people have about his time at Georgia Tech is the way that his defenses look there. And to a certain extent, it was the same thing with Temple. In terms of play calling on the defensive side of the ball, though, I feel like a lot of people believe that he was a guy that was calling the defensive plays. And that's a concern. That should be a huge red flag. I think, look, he wasn't calling plays. He, you know, the last time he called plays on the defensive side was in 2017. I believe he did it for Temple and then gave it up because he felt like he really needed to focus on being a head coach. He wasn't calling the plays at Georgia Tech. Now, you could say that he should have probably jumped in there at some point, especially with the lack of success that they were having. You also wonder, you know, was he a guy that wasn't able to sort of help out the defensive coordinator that was there? Those are all fair points. But at the same time, when you look at the track record that he's built overall at the other schools, and even the prior stops that got him to Mississippi State and Florida, he's a guy that is proven, and that I really think Tar Heel fans should, you know, have an open mind with. And that's the biggest thing, is you have to have an open mind with him coming in there. Do I think this is a guy that's going to come in and all of a sudden Carolina's defense is going to be the best in the ACC? God, no. That's not happening. I think there is a long way to go. But I'm going to tell you right now, if in year one, if he can get this group inside of the top 75, I think Carolina fans should consider themselves lucky. It's not going to be his guys. Now, the scheme that he runs, and that's the other part of this that we have to really break down with him, is the 4-2-5. A lot of people frustrated with this. I don't really understand why people are that mad about this. I know a lot of people are saying, well, they want to see someone that has a base 4-3, that has, you know, a 3-4. I know I saw some people that were bringing that up. They wanted to completely change it. I will just let you in on a secret here. First of all, the 3-4, they do not have the right guys to run a 3-4. These guys, you know, especially inside at the defensive tackle positions, look at the guys they've recruited the last few years. There is nobody that is playing two gaps in the middle. That's not happening. We tried that. We tried that when Jay Bateman was here to a certain extent, the way that he rolled his defensive line out, and it didn't work. People got frustrated with that and said, we want to get that out of here. We want to go back to having four down linemen. So in terms of the 3-4, people wanting to shift back to that, I mean, look, unless you were just a guy that really wanted Jim Leonard and you knew that that was his system, it doesn't really make a lot of sense why you would say we need to switch back to that scheme. I think, you know, I understand where people are coming from with, hey, we need the 4-3 defense, especially on rundowns. I get it. I really do. I think that there is reasons to be concerned that Carolina does not have the ability to stop the run when they have two linebackers at times on the field. But really, it's this simple. It's all on the defensive line, guys. If they win up front, your linebackers are good enough in the back end. Because guess what? Almost every other team in the country runs nickel 90% of the time. In the modern era of football, it is incredibly rare that you are going to see teams use three linebackers consistently. It just doesn't happen. Now, Carolina's recruited the linebacker spot really well. So if they had to go to a 4-3 defense, they probably had the bodies in that room to be able to do it. But the thing is that if you have a 4-3 defense and that's your base and you're keeping that out there, even 35-40% of the time, you got to have dudes that know how to cover at an incredibly high level, because tight ends are incredibly athletic. Teams use running backs out of the backfield a ton. I think the 4-2-5 is not something that people should be that concerned about. You need your defensive line coach to be able to develop the guys that are in that room better and allow them to win up front. Because if they do, you're not even going to notice that it's a 4-2-5 alignment that's on the field. You also need your safeties to be able to tackle, and you need an aggressive nickelback, which we saw at times, especially last year. I thought you saw it with DeAndre Boykins. Now, the problem is that with DeAndre Boykins, great job of tackling in run defense. The man had absolutely nothing at times in coverage. I mean, he might have allowed, I believe last year, if I remember the stat correctly, he allowed the most receiving yards of any player in the country a year ago. That's the thing, is that if you can find that delicate balance, then I think you're going to be perfectly fine in this system that Jeff Collins likes to run. The other thing that I have seen from a lot of people that, or remembering back to his times in the SEC, and something that we sort of saw from him on the sidelines, very intense guy on the sidelines. Carolina needs that. I don't know if you guys listened or watched the edition of the podcast that I did with Taylor Tannenbaum almost 2 months ago now, or rather a little over a month ago, back at the end of November. Had her on. Asked her about that game against NC State. And I said, what was the sideline like? Was there really a lot of fire, a lot of yelling? There really wasn't. I think Jeff Collins can change that. He's a guy that's very passionate. I think he's a guy that's going to hold his kids to a pretty high standard. I really think this is a guy that can bring a little bit of the what is lacking on the sidelines for the Tar Heels. And then you look at his scheme, and it is an aggressive one. He's a guy that likes to get after the quarterback. He will blitz. That's kind of what you want to see, because we heard from Gene Chizik in the offseason this past year, I'm going to be more aggressive. I'm going to try to get after the quarterback more. And look, first six games of the year, when Carolina was playing well defensively, you saw it. I told you the other night, though, he used it in the game against Miami. Miami was able to move the football on Carolina, and all of a sudden, from that point forward, it was incredibly conservative the rest of the way. He went back to what was comfortable for him, a lot of zone heavy stuff, and didn't really blitz a lot of guys because he was just trying not to get beat over the top. When look, Tyler Van Dyke was a guy that simply just had Carolina's number. He was a guy that threw for a lot of yards, but guess what? He threw for a lot of yards. He never beat Carolina. So yeah, I understand why Gene was concerned about what he saw. But Miami also had one of the better receiving cores in the ACC. And I really think that just completely threw everything off. I don't feel like that's the way that Jeff Collins is going to coach. I think aggression is going to be his thing. Now, that's going to lead to potentially some big plays down the field at times, especially early when Carolina is trying to adjust to his scheme. But at the same time, I mean, that's what you want to see, right? Is you want to see guys that are aggressive. Because it feels like it's been so long since Carolina has had that. There's so much conservative defense. Really just, hey, we're just trying not to get beat for big plays, and we're just hoping that our offense scores a lot. That's the thing, is that you need this defense to become more aggressive, to win their battles. And I think there's potential here. And the biggest thing, before I get out of here, and of course, want any of your comments, what you think about the hire of Jeff Collins. We're going to make this one pretty short, though, and then head on out. I think the thing that you really have to look at with this is that it's a change, guys. It's a change to a guy that has a pretty solid track record. And I think it was the right move to move on from Gene Chizik. Mack Brown clearly wasn't going to go with somebody that didn't have a lot of experience, because this is a move that you feel like you need to nail. So you got to have somebody with a little bit of a history. We said it the other night. Josh said it, and I said the same thing. I think this is what determines the end date of Mack Brown here in Chapel Hill. I think if this goes horrendously and basically turns into a one-year hire, I think Mack Brown probably is forced to retire at the end of the year. I think if Mack Brown nails this hire, then this could allow him to stay around for 4, 5, maybe even more years, depending on when he wants to walk away. That's the thing. So I think he knew, I have to go out and get somebody. He knows of Jeff Collins, probably had conversations with him when he was the head coach of Georgia Tech before games, and heard things that he liked, and kind of kept a mental note on him. And one of the things that he said that I think really stood out to me is that Jeff Collins was a guy that when he called him and talked to him, he knew everything about Carolina. He had been watching this team. Now, you know, part of it was probably that Jeff Collins probably sniffed a little blood in the water when it came to Gene Chizik and said, let me brush up on this team just a little bit. But at the same time, I mean, the fact that he knew players' names, that he knew the deficiencies of this team, he knew what he wanted to do to change it, I think having a plan was huge. And look, every guy that Carolina would have interviewed probably would have had a plan. But I think this is a guy that maybe having a year away, and people wanted to use that against him as well. Guys, if you're getting paid a buyout like he was from Georgia Tech, if you don't have to coach, especially, you know, if you get a chance to sort of reset and rejuvenate yourself, that's not the worst thing in the world. It's probably honestly better for Carolina that he didn't go and coach somewhere, because if he did, he could still potentially be a little worn out from the experience that he had at Georgia Tech. I think he had a chance to reset. He had a chance to sort of brush up and maybe learn some of the areas where He wasn't great as a head coach, although, again, I don't really think that ultimately matters here. And maybe had a chance to sort of, you know, get more familiar with what teams are doing in the modern day offensively that he can attack as a coordinator. Because ultimately, he had to know that he was going to be a coordinator again. I think that was something that he had kind of come to terms with. And he, you know, there was a clip floating around that multiple people were tweeting out earlier today where he basically acknowledged that he knew he was going to probably be doing that again at some point. So I think ultimately, is it the greatest hire that Carolina could have made? No, I don't think so. I think it's one of those hires that is really solid. You know, A'shaun Williams, a guy who's checked in with us a lot. Really appreciate you, A'shaun. He says, love the hire, much needed. And I think that's the thing, is that you needed somebody that gave you some sort of boost. It's not the surefire hire that a guy like Jim Leonard would have been. But I think outside of Jim Leonard, there really wasn't that type of guy. And if Jim Leonard is a guy that all of a sudden ends up in the NFL, then Tar Heel fans should realize it was never going to happen. And you probably should realize that anyways. He's a Midwest guy. Like, I put him on my list. I said it was a guy that they should contact. I didn't say it was a guy they were going to get. So you had your hopes high. The other one that drove me insane was Phil Parker, the defensive coordinator from Iowa. Guys, that was never happening. Phil Parker has been with Kirk Ferentz for years. Why would he leave Iowa? And I'm going to tell you right now, if you say, well, all Carolina had to do was offer him more money, great. Carolina offers him more money. You don't think that Iowa, with how good they are, they have been defensively, just look at this year. That's the only reason that team made it to the Big Ten title game was because of their defense. Their offense sucks, and it has for a long, long time. Phil Parker was never entertaining this job, ever. And if he was available, guys, don't you think a school like USC would have gone after him? Like, I don't know why you think this job, the defensive coordinator job here, was so sought after, because it's a job that just it was probably looked at as one that's going to come with a lot of challenges. And Jeff Collins is willing to take that on. And there's a reason why I had him number two on the list that I have. I really think this is a very, very solid hire. And that's the type of hire that you should want. To me, you go back and look at when Carolina brought Gene Chizik in, I thought that was more of a risk, because Gene Chizik was away from college football for all those years. Jeff Collins hasn't been away. He was a head coach. He wasn't calling the defense, but he was around the sport. He knows the ins and outs of the sport. This is a very solid hire for Carolina. Blake Jones, you know, thanks for tuning in, brother. Really appreciate you. He says, honestly think Collins was the best UNC could get realistically. Exactly. That's where I'm at too. I think you got to have some realism about where your job is at. And I think Mac Brown and his staff, clearly they knew that they were already, before the bowl game, planning on Gene Chizik being gone. Jeff Collins was a guy that wasn't employed at the time, wasn't employed this year. So you had the chance to talk to him. I would imagine that when Carolina made the move, they knew the guy they were going to get. And it was going to be Collins. And I think they had plenty of time to talk to him. I would think that, you know, with some of the guys that were out there, a lot of these guys were available. The only one that you probably wouldn't have been able to talk to out of that group that I laid out of the five was Leonard. Most of the other guys, they've been available for a while. So Carolina had plenty of time to really go through this process, figure out who they wanted. And ultimately, I think they probably got the best candidate off of the list of guys that I was looking at. And to me, that's why I'm excited. I mean, those Jeff Collins was one of the bigger names they could have gotten. I mean, if you don't like that hire, did you want him to go get a group of five guy? They did that. They went and got Jay Bateman when Mac Brown took the job. And look at how that worked. Now, granted, you would be hiring probably from a non-service academy, you would hope. I would hope they wouldn't go the route of Army or Navy. I mean, look, those guys do a great job at those service academies. It fits what they need to do. But it just doesn't work when you get to now the P4 level of college football. But I think this is one that as you go along into the offseason, and really as you go throughout the next couple of days, this should be a hire that should grow on you ultimately. So, guys, I'm going to step out of here. Really appreciate it. Appreciate everybody that tuned in to this edition. You know, again, leave your comments here. We'll still be checking in on the video even after we cut it off live here. You guys can leave your comments. Let us know what you think of the hire of Jeff Collins, why you like it, why you don't. We want to hear from you guys, and we will, of course, be back. There'll be more reaction to this hire. Josh, we'll get his take on that the next time that he is on the podcast. And in the meantime, make sure you head over to the website, heeltupblog.com. Plenty of great stuff up there. Of course, we've got an article that breaks down Jeff Collins' hire on the website. Make sure you guys go and check that out, including comments from Mac Brown that came out from the program earlier today when they made it official. Also, plenty of other great stuff on the website. Guys in the 2024 class participating in the Showcase Bowl events, including two guys that participated in Wednesday's Under Armour All-American game. I got a breakdown for you on the website of how Davian Gauss and Zion Ferguson played in that game. And then, of course, I'll have you covered on Saturday when Carolina, or tomorrow rather, when four of Carolina's signees play in the Army All-American game. Excuse me. It's just the All-American Bowl now is what they call it. That'll be in San Antonio tomorrow. I believe it is a 1 o'clock kick. So, yeah, I will be watching that later on. So make sure that you guys check that out. We'll have a recap of that event and who stands out. I tell you this, one guy already standing out from all of the people that are down there covering it for On3 Sports, 24/7, all those sites. Jordan Shipp is looking really, really good. So there's a good chance that he could show out in this game. We'll have you covered, though, with all of that and then any of the coverage on the 2025 class as well. There's an article. I've been trying to write it, but with all this news that's been coming out, it's been getting pushed to the back burner. There are three key guys that Carolina is going after in the 2025 class that narrowed down their top schools list. They had Carolina on there. We tell you where Carolina stands with those. That'll be an article going up here soon as well. So that wraps it up for this edition of the podcast for tonight. We want to thank everyone for watching and listening and, of course, commenting on this edition. And as always, go Tar Heels!